Thank you for coming. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. We're so glad that you've made your Friday evening to be here at the house of the Lord and been a part of all week. I know some of you have been here every night and some of you have been here the night you could, so we appreciate you coming. And we want to say thanks to the praise and worship team for what they've been doing all week. They've been doing a good job. Let's give them a thank you for making that extra effort. They have to be here early and practice and do all that, so it's all ready. So they come a little extra. We want to say a big thank you for that. Amen. Open your Bibles again tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians. Has been our golden text during this particular week. I've been ministering for you that may not have been with us. You might want to get the CDs or the DVDs a little bit later on the gifts of the Spirit, of how they work through you. So much of the time we talk about the ministry of the gifts through the public ministries, like a Benny Hinn or an Oral Roberts or a Catherine Kuhlman, and that's wonderful. But the gifts of the Spirit are not just for those on a platform. The gifts of the Spirit were given to every one of us that we may get blessing and victory in our life. Amen? Amen. And so I've tried to focus on that side of it because that's not focused on enough, I think, in today's Spirit-filled churches. I think people kind of know it, but they don't know it. Does that make sense? They heard about it, but they never had it pumped into them for 5 days in a row. So hopefully I can help do that with you because I think it's important that you know that every one of these gifts belong to you and will work for you when you need them to get you victory in your life, your family, your business, or wherever you may be. Amen. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a fivefold. You just have to be a believer. Amen. And you have to believe that these belong to you. All right, let's read verse 1. We'll do a real quick recap on a couple of the verses, and we'll go on in with our, see where we left off last night. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." There is no blessedness in being ignorant of something or not knowing about something. What you don't know can't work for you. What you don't know, God can't do for you or through you. So we talked the first night about the purpose of the knowledge of God, that you need to know what you don't know, God can't do for you. So you need to make sure that you get the knowledge of God. So hopefully this week, I've helped highlight and remind and made a little bit deeper in your life the importance of the gifts of the Spirit so that you can have them in your life and be used by God with them. Amen? And then it says in verse 7, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody." Everybody say every man or everybody. Everybody. And say, that includes me. Amen. Not just Brother Benny Hinn. That includes me that works at Kentucky Fried Chicken. That includes me that works in the rubbish collection. That's me that works in the school system or in the law office or in the grocery store. That's you. Amen. Don't get excommunicated from where God has included you. Amen. Don't let traditions, don't let ignorance, and don't let ministerial egos kick you out of where God has included you. Amen. I've talked to Pastor a little bit, and I'll just mention this for a moment. It's become a growing concern in my spirit that a lot of times people that are in the fivefold want to make sure that the gifts belong to them and not to you because it makes them extra special. And I think it's wrong that we don't say, and it belongs to you right where you live. And then somehow they think that I won't be important. That's called insecurity in ministry. If you obey your call, you'll never be unimportant. You won't be ever thrown aside because God's called you. There'll always be a place for you to minister. And empowering people is the fivefold job, to give them knowledge, to empower them, to lift them up to where they don't need you anymore, is the way I say it. You know, my job as a minister is to help educate, train you to where one day you don't need me at all. You can hear God for yourself correctly. You can get victory in any environment that God may put you in. You can obey him. You can divide the word right and live happily ever after. Hallelujah. That's the job of the fivefold. Now, if I keep you as babies or your attention in a wrong focus, then I'm not a very good minister. And one day God will come to minister's house and correct them or remove the candlestick that used to be in their hand if they don't make the right internal adjustments. Amen? It's one thing if you don't know any better and you do it because you just saw somebody else do it. It's one another thing if you know where God's been talking to you and you've not been listening or taking time to say, what does this mean in practicality? How do I need to be walking? There's something you're trying to tell me that I'm making a misstep. And most people's mistakes can be solved in about 30 seconds. Most of it's an internal adjustment, a mind adjustment, an attitude adjustment, a heart adjustment. And most of those, if you're sincere, you can fix in about 30, say a minute at the most, 30 seconds or less. Can you say amen? Says, well, I have to pray for 3 weeks. Are you that stubborn? If the word of God pricks your heart or the spirit of God begins to move on you, be quick to say, Jesus, fix me. What do I need to do? I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want to be on the wrong side. Help me out. Amen? And so be quick to say, amen. How do I fix it? What do I need to do? You know, it's better to be right with God and not worry about public opinion as a part of your ministerial motto. Amen? You know, because public opinion doesn't always follow chapter and verse. It follows the emotion of the moment or the snare of human demand or the public demand. And sometimes what the public wants and what God needs to give them are two different things. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, let's read verse 7 again. If I get too far in that one, I won't get out of that vein. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody, and here's why, okay? To profit with all. Now, another way to say that is to help you get victory in your life. Another way to say it is to have peace in your life. When you have a situation you don't know what to do, you're not at peace. God wants there to be peace in your life, victory in your life. He wants you to be advancing and growing in all parts of your life. And so the gifts of the Spirit come to help you get victory, whether it's minor or major requirement, victory in your life. Isn't that good to know? They don't come to beat you up. They don't come to embarrass you. They don't come to spank you. They come to lift you, heal you, and get you going down the right road of peace and victory and happiness. Amen? God wants you to be happy like he's happy. Amen? He don't like grumpy saints. He likes happy saints. Thank you for the no amens on that point whatsoever. All right. Now, for you that were not here, I'll just recap this real fast. There are 9 gifts, and you break those 9 gifts up into 3 different categories, and you can talk about them this way. There are the revelation gifts. Those are the gifts of God that are supernatural gifts that reveal something, and they are the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. We talked about those the other day. And then there are the utterance gifts. Those are the gifts that supernaturally come into you that say something. They say something, and that is the gift of prophecy, and then the gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And so those are your utterance gifts. And then you have power gifts. And those are the gifts that do something. And that's the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Now, last night I stopped talking about when we dismissed with the gift of faith. So let's go back there for a moment, and we're going to talk about the power gifts and see how far we get tonight and get over into the other ones. But we do have 3 times on Sunday, or we can go to midnight tonight if you don't go to sleep. Now, y'all look like I said scared you. That's just a joke. But if you don't amen me, I might go to 11. Oh, now we say amen. Okay. All right. Okay. The gift of faith is one of the power gifts. If you can read them in the next few verses that I did not read. But he's given the gift of faith to every one of us. The gifts of the Spirit manifest. Let me just touch this. This comes up. When you need them. They don't come to entertain you or to validate you in the eyes of the public. They come when you need them. So you may go, maybe you may go to a whole year and some of the gifts never manifest. That doesn't mean that you don't have them. You haven't had a need for those particular gifts. Does that make sense? So don't think, well, I lost my gift. No, you didn't lose your gift. You've just been living in a place where you didn't need those gifts, and that's a good thing. You've been living in divine health, so you don't need the gifts of healing. You've been living with everything peaceful, people living right, so you didn't need a word of knowledge to fix certain problems around. So those are good things. So don't feel like, well, I lost the gift. You didn't lose the gift. Your life may not have needed that particular gift or those particular gifts, and it's okay. You may go for a long time and never need a certain gift. But when you do, it's available for you. Isn't that good to know? Hallelujah. I may go for 2 or 3 years and never have, the working of miracles or some other gift. I don't feel like I lost it. I just found out, I don't need it. Hallelujah. Sometimes a sign of not having a gift means all's well. Thank you for the from the first lady here on the front row. All's well. You know, sometimes I used to say this a lot. You know, it's okay that God can give you a miracle, but some things God would like to let you have a life where miracles aren't required. Yes. I'd rather live in divine health where healings are not required. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. I'd rather have divine health. But if I ever do need a healing, thank God there's a gift of healing that can help me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The gift of faith is different than your individual faith. According to Romans 12:3, God dealt to every person the measure of faith. All right? So everybody that's born again here and you that are watching me have been given by God the measure of faith, which means everybody got the same exact measure with the same potential in all the same measures. Nobody got any special bigger measure than anybody else. Now, what you do with your measure may determine a difference between you and somebody else. Because then you go a little bit further and you find in another chapter of Romans that faith cometh, or faith is energized by hearing, or it grows by hearing. Not having heard, but keep on hearing. So the more you hear something, the bigger your faith will get in that area. Amen? And that's called what I call everyday faith. That's why pastor here, and if you've been a Christian most of your life, every pastor, no matter what denomination you're in, if you're a Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, even if you're Catholic, they always say, read your Bible and pray. Do your daily devotions. How many have you heard that? How many are trying to do that? How many don't want to answer that question at all? Okay. Well, the reason why pastors and spiritual leaders and older saints encourage everybody, make sure you pray every day, read your Bible some every day, so that your everyday faith, your measure of faith grows. That's part of it. So that you can face life with your faith that is growing. But we all here have been in situations where all of a sudden, what I would call a multiple warhead of the enemy, you have a spiritual attack, you have a natural problem, you got this going on, and he's like, how long is this thing going to last? And sometimes it seems like it goes on for eternity. Have you ever felt like that? Lord, I can't take many more days of this. Then we normally start praying for the rapture. Well, we don't need to pray for the rapture. We need to look for the, open the doors and let the gifts of the Lord to come and help me out right now. I've been in places in my private life and in my ministerial life to where there was so much going on that my everyday faith had not got to the place of that size to handle all that was going on, and I started to sink. I thought, like, I can't do this no more. I want to quit. I want to give up. Let the devil have it. I know you don't do that, but I do that sometimes. They're like, you just go ahead and take it. I'm tired of fighting. You know, that's when your everyday faith is overwhelmed. And that's where sometimes if you don't know that, that happens. Because sometimes as we're building our faith and obeying the Lord, the devil throws a big attack at us to overwhelm us so that we feel like we can't make it, and we cannot make it sometimes where we're at with our faith at that moment in our life. That's where the gift of faith comes in. It's a gift from God's faith, his faith, and he gives you the amount of power of faith that you need to get victory right now, or to go through whatever time element required and stay full of joy with receiving faith in you. Does that make sense? And here's how it comes. You can just be sitting there in that red chair like, I want to go home and go to sleep. Because you normally when your body's under attack of the devil, it wants to eat and sleep. Somebody got it. When your body's under an attack, know what your body reacts to. Normally tries to avoid the pressure by sleeping or doing comfort food or whatever you want to call it. I've had people come in my office with counseling with candy bars in their pockets. And I'm like, well, I like candy bars too, but that's too many. Well, you got to know what it's like. And your body's tired. Your mind's overwhelmed. You don't know what to do, and you're ready to quit and give up. that's where God, through the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith, he takes amount of his faith that he has through the power of the Holy Spirit supernaturally and puts it in you. And one moment you're about ready to die and give up, and the next minute you're ready to do a jig and dance around the room. People think, what are you taking? What kind of vitamins are you on? I'm on 12 of them. Nine of them, called 1 Corinthians 12, nine supernatural vitamins that'll give you power. And God just shoots it into your spirit where 5 minutes before you're ready to quit, give up, overwhelmed. You didn't think you could make it. And now you're ready to climb the whole mountain and sing on top of it. That's what the gift of faith does. It comes into you supernaturally and gives you receiving joyful ability in the midst of the storm. Now, two things happen when the gift of faith comes. Let me make a point to you. Number one, when the gift of faith comes, it can get you an instant victory. Now, I like that the best. I'm sure you do too. When it comes inside you, whoosh, into your spirit, that faith has believing, receiving ability. And it can get you an instant victory just like that. Sometimes, number two, it gives you the ability to go the distance with joy and peace and confidence and the song of victory until it manifests. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know why. On one time, it'll go whoom instantly. And on the other, you got to go the distance. I have no answer for that. When I get to heaven, I want 5 minutes with Jesus and ask him, what constituted those two manifestations? Why was one instant? And not that I'm not appreciative of the joy that kept me going the 3 weeks or the 2 days or whatever it was. What was the thing that made it go that way? Because I don't know what to tell people. Sometimes I look at my life and I'm thinking, now why in the last episode of drama, I got it in 30 seconds? Why is this when I got to go the distance? Now, I'm not being disrespectful. Thank God for the gift of faith that came. But my head goes, why couldn't we get it in 30 seconds? Why do we have to go for 3 weeks or whatever the distance is? I'm still happy because faith pulls you up into the receiving joyful praise. Amen? Amen. So let's take a moment right here. You're doing this. Let's lift our hands up just for a moment. And let's thank God for the gift of faith. Just open your heart and your family, your life, and say, I receive the gift of faith in my life. I open up the door of my family and my heart and my business for the gift of faith to flow through to me and to my family and my staff. As the Spirit of God wills, we receive it in my life, in my family, in my business. In Jesus' name, I receive and make myself available for the gift of faith in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the reason why I do that, that's the number one thing you need to do constantly, you know, once a week or twice a week, just take a moment and thank God for the gifts of the Spirit in your life. That keeps the door of your heart and your life open for them to manifest. Now, you don't have to be religious about it, but just make a habit of it. What you thank God for shows up. Does that make sense? Don't become a religious robot, but just, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever you feel, however it comes to you, or just put it on your bathroom mirror Thursday morning while I'm brushing my teeth or I'm combing my hair, I'm going to start thanking God for the nine gifts. Thursday morning is nine gifts thanks day. So I do it all the time. I'm on an airplane or on a British train. I don't make a scene, but I just start, thank you, Lord, for the word of knowledge. That it works in my heart and works in my life. Thank you, word, for the word of wisdom. And I just thank him. And it takes about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You don't have to go crazy and have a Pentecostal jig down the aisle of the train. Just say the Lord and tell the Holy Spirit, I like them. I believe in them. Always remember, I want them all. And he goes, thank you. I'm just glad to know that you still want them. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll never violate you or force you. He always waits for an invitation. So I want to make sure certain invitations is always there. Amen. All right. Now, another power gift is the gift of healing, gifts of healing. You can write that down on your piece of paper. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12:9, and to the gifts of healing. Now, this is a very interesting gift for one thing. Notice that the word gifts is plural. All the other one is singular. This is the only one of the nine gifts that's plural. Gifts of healing. Now, the best way I know how to define that gift for you is this way. Now, I know folks may go a different way, and that's fine. So just let me add this to give you a different angle to it. For every disease that the British medical world has labeled and named, there is a gift of God that'll cure it. All right? And number two, for every ailment or disease that they have not named, that somebody may have, that medical science may not know, may not be able to figure out, there is still a gift from the all-knowing God under the gifts of healing that can cure you. But it's done supernaturally. Amen? Now, let me go back here just for a moment. When we talk about miracles and healings, doctors are not our enemy. And it's not the enemy of the healing anointing. In early in Pentecost, there were times when people preached on healing, said, throw away your medicine, throw your doctor's advice out the door and go away. Well, the reason why, like Dowie said that in the late 1800s, was because back then doctors were more butchers than actual helpers. Because science, medical science had not advanced. I think if some of those ministers that made those comments back then that were on the legitimate reason for saying it according to where things were, they would say something different today. Does that make sense to everybody? So I want to take a moment and just to sow this into your heart that God doesn't get mad and withdraw healing power or the gifts of healing from you and your family or church if you go to a doctor or if the doctor is the one helping you. I thank God for all healing. Amen? Some things I can get healed by my own faith on. I don't need a doctor or a pill. But there are some things that my faith's not there yet, so give me a jab. Amen? Give me the pill. I'm going to sit here and suffer. Try to look holy. I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. Does that make sense to everybody? So for some reason, this comes up in my spirit. I just want to sow it to you. The gifts of healing and the healing anointing, the prayer of faith, all the ways that healings come scripturally, going to a doctor does not violate any of those things. If you go to a doctor or take your child to a doctor, does not mean you don't have faith in Jesus. It doesn't mean that the gifts of healing or the working of miracles will bypass you. No, that's not the way it works. Does that make sense? There are some things, like I said, I don't need a doctor. My faith's okay. I can fix it. There are some things, give me the shot. Where's the prescription? I need my pill now because I'm not there yet. But hopefully when I see you next time, I'll be better. I don't allow, this is where I think we make mistakes. The doctors, in their right order, must tell you the facts as they know it. And we appreciate all the doctors, all the specialists, all the nurses. We appreciate them. But always do it like this. They're not the final statement. They are a legitimate, truthful, natural statement of fact. But they're not the final statement. The report of the Lord is going to be our final statement. Amen? Does everybody know how to work that in your heart? Because I know some people, I don't go to doctors. Well, if that's where your faith is at, praise the Lord. But if you're not there, don't feel condemned. Just keep growing. And if you need a doctor, and sometimes you do. Sometimes you're like, I need a doctor. I'm not at that place. And they walk in and they tell you, well, I hate to tell you this, but there's this thing in you growing. And we don't know if it's malignant or not. You know, and sometimes I've heard Christians get mad at the doctor and bind them and loose them. I thought that's so disrespectful because they're doing what they're supposed to do according to the natural ability, according to their talent and skill. They diagnose as they understand. They give you a report and be kind. Listen to them. Thank them, ask them questions, but in your heart, don't let, even if it's one of those scary reports, you know, you get one of those things where, well, you might die report, you know, you have cancer, you know, one of those, here's what the problem is, don't let that report be the final statement about your condition. Just thank them, and then you go find you a Bible verse. You find some of the ladies and men in this church, and get them to lay hands on you and pray, and start believing God for a miracle and a direction. Amen? Does that help anybody? Because I know some, well, I just wouldn't do that. That's why sometimes governments go into Christians' home and take children away from parents. And we have a group in our country that don't believe in doctors or blood transfusions, you know, and I'm not there to argue it, but sometimes my government, I'm sure the British government has done the same thing at time, came in and said, we're going to take charge of your child because you're not taking care of them properly. Well, I stand behind that. Some of these people are living off a doctrine without the faith to make that doctrine work in its fullness. They can get there, but they're not quite there yet. Does that make sense to everybody? And so, gifts of healing, back to my subject. I can get lost down these bunny trails, but sometimes the bunny trail is more annoying than the main highway. Did you get that? I need to say that again. Sometimes you go down this little road for 3 minutes, it does more than the main thing you're talking about for people in the room. But the gifts of healing, for every ailment known to man by medical science, and ailments that they don't know what is. There's something wrong, but they don't have the test to see what it is. They don't know what it is. It's new, or it's new to medical science. God still has a gift under the gifts of healing that can cure you and fix you supernaturally. Amen? Now, here's how this gift comes. Now, this gift can come through a minister that God gave it to, that works through, like for me in my life, I keep mentioning Catherine Kuhlman because she was the greatest impact on my life as a little boy, and I'm 48, and she's still, like yesterday, is talking to me. That's how much impact she had. Now, she was given three main gifts in her ministry. She had real strong the word of knowledge, and then she had working of miracles and gifts of healing in her ministry. I mean, stronger than anybody I've ever seen or read about in the last 250 years. Now, there was folks who had things like Mr. Bonnke has a great miracle ministry. But Catherine Kuhlman, Lord have mercy, that woman. When you were in the building, the glory had a roaring sound that you could hear in the room while you sat there for 2 or 3 hours. You could hear a low roar inside the building. You first thought it was the air conditioner. And you'd walk outside. I remember walking outside, and it was just normal. We're in the lobby, and you walk back in the auditorium, and it wasn't the air-conditioned noise. There was a sound with the cloud that woman carried. And she protected her gift real strong-like. When God gives you some of these things, like in public ministry, that flows to you more fluently because it's on a public platform, you have to protect it. From who? One, you. You can kill your own ministry. You can stop the gifts of the Spirit in your own ministry that God gives you supernaturally to flow in more often than other times or other people, because all of a sudden you start using them to make money off of them or to make people think you are the only thing that's of God on the earth, and not realizing there's all different types of members in the body of Christ. We need to respect and love them. So you have to make sure you stay real humble. The greater the manifestation of God in your ministry, the more humble you have to be to maintain its strength and its currency in your life. Amen? That's why some people will have it for 5, 6 years, and then it's gone like that. Or it only shows up like once in a while, like rare. And that's part of it. The other thing is, the devil fights you. And some people get tired of the warfare, and they just don't want to go there no more. But that's another whole subject. But thank God that ministries have that. But the gifts of healing can come through you right here in your church or in your home. The same way that it came through Miss Kuhlman or somebody else, it can come through you the same way. Now, the only difference is there's not 5,000 people watching you. And that you're not called to have what you call a public ministry or a national ministry. But that doesn't mean that gift avoids you. The gifts of the Spirit come because you need them. And there may be an illness in your family or yourself or somebody in the church. And all of a sudden, supernaturally, one day, while you're making a cup of British tea, it can come while you're putting in the milk. And all of a sudden, pshoom, it comes into you. And the Lord will come on you and say, go over there and grab your son or whatever it is, whoever the person is, and do this and pray for them or lay hands on them or anoint them with the oil right now. Or you can just come in the room and vibrate them. When they're done vibrated, they're all fixed. I saw that one time in my church. I was preaching one Sunday morning in my church, and there was a lady in my church, a good lady, been there probably about 10 years, good couple, and she had a problem with her liver, and they were going to have to give her a transplant. It was going that direction. And so we'd been praying for her, and they were doing what they needed to do in the natural with the doctors and so forth. And like I said, the final statement was God, but they were doing what they knew to do. And right in the middle of my sermon, I went mute. It's very rare for a preacher to go quiet in the pulpit. Usually we all talk too long. So when a preacher goes quiet, it's a little bit opposite than normal. And I remember I couldn't say it. It's like, normally when that happens, you need to, Lord, what? Yes, tune in. And when I kind of tuned in, he didn't say nothing. I thought, well, it's not me. I learned enough in ministry of the Holy Spirit that when something like that happens, just wait a minute and see what he's up to. Don't get nervous, even if you look foolish for a moment. Just act spiritual. If you get real nervous, just lift your hands a little bit and close your eyes and just stand there like you're hearing something. You're going, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? It's okay. I just learned now, I just look back at it. I don't get nervous like I used to. In the earlier days, I got nervous. Like, oh, shit. And I understood that. And I couldn't talk. No, the Lord just stopped me. And I went, what I would say, supernaturally mute. I couldn't say nothing. I tried. And my associate thought I needed a glass of water. And then he realized it wasn't that. Because he knows my pattern. And so I was just standing there. And all of a sudden, the lady, and we all knew her in the church, a very good lady, falls out of her chair right in the aisle, in the middle of the aisle here. Just falls out and shakes. And she shook enough to where people around her scooted back and pulled the chairs back. And at first I thought, well, first off, she's not given to that kind of thing. She's a lady that when she moves, it's really the Lord. She's not one that wants to be seen. She's not one that does things like that. That's, you know, like, oh, please just sit down and be. It's not one of those people. You know, it's one of those folks that when they start moving or something happens, you kind of, because you know their character and their manner, you just kind of, okay, I'll just stand back. And plus, I couldn't say nothing. So I just stood there and we all just watched her. It seemed like it went for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. It's probably no more than 3 or 4 minutes. You know, sometimes when you're in those kind of things, it seems like it goes on forever and it's only been a few minutes. And so it seemed like it went on for like, you know, 20 minutes or whatever it was, but it was probably only at, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes or whatever. And it was one of those, and the whole crowd just reverently just sat there. Some of them stood up to watch because there's always the spectator bunch. And that's okay. The Bible does say watch and pray, so it's all right to watch. And I'd rather have you watch that and, you know, enjoy seeing something supernatural. So you saw it. Grandma always said, don't close your eyes when you're praying. You might miss God doing something. So I've always learned to watch and pray. So that might be helpful to some of you who want to see the move of the Spirit. Don't, ooh, keep one eye open. So you can see the move of God and how the human persons respond to it. Well, she shook down there for a few moments. I mean, long enough to where, you know, it wasn't a put on. Long enough and in a way where, you know, everybody, even the visitors, knew that it was something, something. And then when she was done, I mean, just as nice as she could be, she got right back at her husband and a couple of people kind of helped her up a little bit, put her back in her chair, and she just sat in her chair for a few moments and lifted her hands and just quietly, and then my mouth came free. And I said, well, let's just lift all our hands because God's done something here this morning with Sister So-and-so. I believe God's probably healed her, but let's wait and see what the doctor says. I think I have it in my spirit. And so the whole audience just took a few moments and thanked God and worshiped God for a few moments. Even if you don't know for sure, it's never wrong to give God praise. Yes. It's never wrong to acknowledge God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. In all your ways. And so she went to the doctor that week, and I got a call at my home from her husband. He goes, "You won't believe it." I said, "I hope I'm going to hear what I think I'm going to hear." She's healed. Her liver's back to 100% normal, producing everything it needs to do. And they're going to run more tests, and they did more tests, and she got healed. Well, what that was, it was the gifts of healing that came into our church that Sunday morning without me being involved. Can God work in the church without pastor? Yeah. Sometimes we are like you. We just get to watch it. Sometimes he'll use us. Sometimes he may use somebody in the building and leave the pastor just sitting there going, "I am the pastor." But God uses who he wants to use to do certain things. And in a home church, we've got to be led by the Spirit of that. If somebody across the room got anointing to come over and minister healing or something to somebody right in the middle of not the right moment, but it's the Lord, go with it. You know, we're not trying to show off, but we do want the works of the Lord to have freedom to flow. Does that make sense? Well, she was totally healed and lived on, and she, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the last time I saw her about, 8, 9 months ago when I was out in California, she's still happy living, got grandkids, running around catching them. I look at her and I think, thank God for the gifts of healing. That day, the gift of healing for livers came into our building. Supernaturally. I didn't touch her. Nobody touched her. Nobody could claim I was the one that God used to get your healing. They just all sit there and watch, and I couldn't say amen or oh me. It just happened. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? So let's stop right now and let's thank God for the gifts of healing in your life, in your church, that God can heal sinners and he can heal Christians of diseases. Father, we open up our heart today and we welcome the gifts of healing into our life, into this ministry here, into all the different businesses. Everywhere we go, we will yield and receive the gifts of healing so that people can be free from disease and pain and discomfort and be cured supernaturally in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Now, the next one I want to give, now, if I had, normally when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit, I teach 2 sessions a day, about 2 hours each, so 4 hours a day. So maybe next time we can do that. Maybe we can find a certain time when we have a little bit more time, but I think it's good this week, what we've been doing. But the working of miracles is your third power gift. Now, most people call it the gift of miracles, and that's not biblically correct. There really is no place in the New Testament where it says the gift of miracles. You know, it always seems to be referring to this particular, the gift of the working of miracles. Everybody say working.
Working.
All right, it's not the gift of miracles. It's the gift of the working of miracles. All right, it's the gift, verse 10. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, the working of miracles. Now, this probably today is the most rare of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's the most rare. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord told me. Most people don't like the working part. That's why they don't get the miracle part. I say to this side of the room, most people don't like the working part. That's why they don't get the miracle part. All right? Now, I'm going to give you an Old Testament example, and then I'm going to give you a New Testament example. Let's go over to the book of 1 Kings, if we could please. And we're going to look, or 2 Kings, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 5. And then we'll come back to the New Testament. The story of Naaman's healing. 2 Kings 5. And I'm going to read verse 1, then we'll drop down to another passage, another scripture in this verse to get closer to the story. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a military man, was a great man with his master. He was like one of the generals, you know, one of the British generals or one of the U.S. generals, you know, Patton or Montgomery. You know, he was a status man, a military guy back then. And he was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. He was brave and courageous, but he was a leper. Okay? Now, he wasn't Jewish, and he didn't believe in Jehovah. Okay? Just recognize, let me get it to you right now. God heals people that don't believe in him because he loves them anyway. Always remember, God can heal a Muslim, a Hindu. He can heal a Satanist. You see, why would he do that? Because God's merciful. And I'm so happy when God does things like that. This proves how much he loves them in spite of their lifestyle or their background or whatever. So don't ever get mad. Say, praise the Lord, my God's nice. Jesus is the nicest of all the gods. If you line them all up, Jesus wins. Hallelujah. He's real nice. Now, some of his kids are mean, but he's nice. We're still trying to grow in his grace and go after him. Amen. Please be kind. If you're going to be rebuked by God when you get to heaven, let it be because you were too nice while you were down here, not because you were too mean. I've been mean. I don't want to be mean no more. I got delivered from meanness. I knew how to preach damnation. I grew up on damnation preaching. I could take you all to hell in 5 minutes and burn you while you were down there, you know? And then I realized Jesus is a nice God and he saved us from hell. Let's don't take them there while we preach. Let's take them to heaven. Let's take them to the kindness of God and the goodness of God. So if I make a mistake now, you know, in ministry, I want to be because I've been too nice. I've been too merciful that God has said you just were too nice. I'd rather have that as my judgment than me being too mean and running people off. Anybody else want to join that group? Yep. Amen. I'd rather have that. We go on down, and there was a little maid girl, a little slave girl, to be honest. I'm going to tell the story, and then I'm going to start with the verse 10. A little maid girl that was, I kind of pick her. She was probably in there, you know, helping her mistress or her master's wife get dressed or comb her hair or do something. And for some reason, the conversation, the little Israeli slave girl said, I would to God there was a prophet in here like we have in Israel. Because, you know, over in Israel, when we get sick or have a disease, we just go down to the prophet and he fixes us. Now, she just made it as what I would think, I'll just make sense, off the cuff. Does that make sense to you? She was just making a comment because it was a fact of life to Israel. But if you're in those times, you needed a miracle, you just go down to the prophet and he'll pray for you or do something, you get fixed. She goes, you know, if we had one of those guys over here in Syria, we could get your husband fixed. Well, it took about a half a day before we have an international incident about to happen. It went from her to her husband to the king. And the king sent Naaman and his group with, you know, clothes and gold and things to, and a letter from him to the king of Israel. And when he came in, they all knew who this general was. It's like, you know, if Patton showed up or Montgomery showed up, everybody knows who this person is. We might not have met them, but we know of them. And so the king of Israel thought it was a trick or something that he was trying to cause a war. Dumb thing. That's most politicians need to recognize you're a power, but not the final power. You are a governmental power, but there's something greater than you, God power, kingdom power. And so many governments don't know how to walk humbly next to God power while they're in power. And that's what we're on with this king. This king said, I think he's trying to cause a battle. And the prophet goes, go tell him. He's trying to find me, you dumb thing. Send him over to my house. I'm the healer. You're not. Well, obviously, he came wanting to be healed. You could see the leprosy. They knew of his condition. And so verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash thyself in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean. Now, this is where a lot of people get mad. And it says right there in verse 9, Naaman was wroth and went away, and here's why he was angry. Now, watch this. I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call upon the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over where my leprosy was, like wave his hand or do something, and I would be healed. A lot of people miss the miracle because they don't like the working part that God tells them on how to get their miracle. You see that there? No, Elisha wasn't trying to show off. He was just, it was the working of miracles. The gift, the working of miracles is the prescription from God for your cure. Can I say it like that? You know, you go to a doctor and they give you a prescription for your medicine and they tell you to take this three times a day, whatever. The working of miracles is a prescription from God for you to get your miracle, whether it's money or peace or healing or whatever it may be. A lot of folks don't like the working part, like him. And I know sometimes, I understand, because sometimes the working part is real odd for us. And he goes here, what in the world does he want me to go dip in the dirtiest river when there are other clean rivers around? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He turned around, verse 12. I went away in rage. Thank God for an assistant that had some sense. Thank God for Holy Ghost or for common sense. People that goes, now listen, Naaman. Listen. The servant came near, verse 13, and spake to Naaman. He said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean, what he was doing, he's going like, just shut up and do it. That's the Laredon translation. I don't think he probably came with that attitude. I think he came like a very respectful way. I think he was the assistant of this great man and said, sir, call him my father. Listen, if he'd have told you to give away 1,000 pounds or to go buy food for 1,000 families, you'd have done it, no problem. If he'd have told you to go walk a mile and do this and walk another mile and do that and help these, you would have done it. He says, well, just do it. And that's what I want to tell someone to you. When it comes to you, even though it may be a little different for you, a little odd for you, just do it. Just do it. Because it's the working that gets the miracle. Now, I don't know why God did it this way, but he did. If you ask me what I would prefer, I'd have preferred it just been the gift of miracles, where it just goes boop, 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 boop. Just real simple, boop. I like it. But that's not the way the Bible says it. And so, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All right, now notice. Let me give this to you. The prescription was go to the Jordan and dip how many times? If he'd only dipped 6, he wouldn't have got it. Always remember, my brother and sister, don't change the order or the prescriptional command. Just do it. Even if it sounds strange or a little odd for you or a little out of your character, out of your manner. Does that make sense to everybody? Because a lot of people will dip once, maybe twice, but 7 times, are you joking? Are you kidding me? No way, it's dirty. Once is enough. Well, then you'll keep your leprosy. The working of miracles was go to the right river, excuse me, and dip 7 times. If he'd went to a different river and dipped 7 times, he'd have missed it. If he'd went to the right river and only dipped 4 times or 6 times, he'd have missed it. Whatever the order is or whatever the instruction is, just do it the way it's been given to you and don't think twice about it. Just do it. Can you say amen? Amen? And he got his miracle. That is an Old Testament example of the working of miracles. Now let me give you a New Testament example from the life of Jesus. And you'll know this story. Remember the blind man that came to Jesus and said, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. So what did Jesus do? Pooey. Now I was told by my mama, my grandma, spitting is not nice. You don't spit. Is that right? It's just, it's not mannered, not well bred and cultured. So here's the Son of God, pooey pooey, making mud on the ground. That's what the Bible says. He spit and made mud with his spittle. And then he picked it up with his hand, walked over to the blind man. The blind man can't see, but he can hear somebody's a-coming, and I'm sure his mind's all spit, spit, and he's walking toward me. What's he going to do to me? And all of a sudden, he felt this muddy stuff, and the Lord, I kind of fear, he put it in the real good. I mean, he had to go wash, and he said, go wash at the pool, and gave him the name of the pool, all right? Then I'm sure there was a deacon or an elder that helped him, and the rest of them went, I told you not to go to the Jesus Crusade. When you go to the Jesus Crusade, strange things happen to you. And here you are, embarrassing our whole church, walking down the middle of Jerusalem with mud in your face, being led by one of our elders. Just shut up and get to the pool. He gets to the pool, and he starts washing his face, and the Bible says he gets his sight. Now, we don't know if it was blindness or his eyes were not even created. This could have been a creative miracle. Or it could have been just a blindness and shroud. Whatever it was a miracle. A working of miracles. All right? Now, two workings for this miracle. Jesus had to be willing to spit and make mud and put it in his eyes. Now, that's a big one. Would you be willing to do something unusual like this or some other way? You know, it doesn't have to be spit and make mud. It could be something else. But Jesus had to be willing. He had to find a willing participant. Number two, the man had to go wash at the right pool. If he just washed in a bucket of water, he wouldn't have got it. If somebody had come up to him with a wet cloth and wiped it out of his face, he wouldn't have got it. He had to go to the pool. It was the two workings that got him his miracle. That's why it's called the gift of the working of miracles. Now, I was preaching in Delaware, and the pastor asked me as I was coming out, he said, would you receive the offering tonight? I said, well, yeah, not a problem, I can do that. While I was sitting on the front row, the Lord said to me, just as strong as I'm talking to you, behind me, back like where that camera is, back there where the sound people are, was a baptism. Behind you, how the baptisms are in some of the churches. The Lord said to me, get in the baptism and have the people walk up on the stage and throw their money into the baptism and you stomp on it and speak in tongues while they do it. I thought, you got to be joking. You know, that's how you don't get invited back next year to the church. So I'm sitting there and I thought, Lord. So I tested it a few times just to make sure I wasn't just hallucinating. But I felt, you know, after a few times, I thought, well, okay, if that's what you want me to do. And as I came up on the platform, I said, Pastor, I want to receive the offering in unusual. He goes, obey the Lord. I said, okay. He didn't know what he was saying. I said, now, folks, I know there's visitors here tonight, and I know this is going to be as goofy and weird looking and sounding, and I'll probably get talked about for days after this. But I was sitting there, the Lord said, get in the baptismal, and have the people tonight come and put their money in there. And when the money falls in front of you, put your feet on them and pray in tongues out loud as you see it come down and do it. I said, so get your money up, get it ready, fill out your envelopes, do it. You did the offertory like that. I said, now I'm going to find how to get back there. I hope there's no water back there. The pastor said, go help Brother Roberts get back there. I had to go back behind the door and go back and pop up back there. Hi. And they started coming. And it was, you know, a good-sized church. I didn't feel anything. I felt stupid. If you want to be honest, you know what I felt? I thought, this is the weirdest. I can't wait to get out of this town. It was just one of those odd things, you know. I did it. I didn't have any type of woo, you know, spirit. It's like I did what I was told to do. I felt a presence there, but nothing out of the ordinary. You know what I mean? So they finished. The usher came and said, that's all the folks. I said, okay. So I said, have them sing a song, and I'll come back around, and I'll preach. So I came back out. And how in the world do you preach after doing something like that? You have to ignore the whole thing you just did like it didn't happen and act like everything's just all right and glad to be here. God bless you. Here's my books. Here's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Amen. And the whole time we were going, crazy preacher. So I preached it. And that whole service was just a nice meeting. There was nothing unusual or spectacular about the sermon, or we gave an altar call and a few people came to get spirit filled. I mean, nothing but the oddity of doing the offering that way that night. So I left, and there was a camp meeting. They had the next night another speaker come in and whatever. And so I thought I'd never hear from that group again, and I wouldn't blame them. I thought if they came to my church and did that, I mean, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, help us all. You know, I'm a wild guy, but, you know. So a little while goes by, and I get a call from the pastor. I thought, well, I guess I get to go back. He's going to call me. So I took the phone call, and I said, hey, Pastor, how you doing? He goes, can you come back and get my baptism again? I said, what? He goes, I want you to come back on a Sunday morning and get in the baptism again and do an offering like you did the last time you were here. I thought, what are you smoking? I mean, what kind of conversation is that? He says, Brother Roberts, he goes, I trust you, and I trust you even more now. He said, but when you did that, I thought you kind of were a little off. I said, I thought I was off too. I said, I obeyed the Lord the best I knew and tested it. And he said, after you did that, the next so many weeks, about a month or so, money began to come in our church where our buildings paid off. I never raised any extra money. I never made anything except we just need to pay off the building like we normally would. He goes, money began to come in with many zeros. And he goes, it all started the night you got in my baptism and stomped on the money and screamed in tongues at it. He said, can you come back and do that again? I said, I wish I could, but it may not work at all except it looked like a bunch of fools in there. Because you can't do it again unless the Lord leads it. That's where we make a mistake sometime with the gifts of healing, the power gifts. It works one time a certain way, and then we want it that way all the time because it was so good. Paid that building off. He goes, I have another building I need to buy. And then he said, I don't know if the Lord will let you. He goes, but we do want you to come back and preach, but if you could do one of those miracle offerings again, we'd like it. I said, Pastor, I, if the Lord comes on me, I'm happy to do it. I said, but I have to tell you a secret. That was the weirdest offering I've ever done in my life. He goes, yeah, that's the weirdest offering we ever had in our church, but it was the greatest offering we ever had in the history of our church. It was the working of miracles. It was a crazy thing. I never would have thought of that in 1,000 years. Get the baptism, have the folks throw the money in there and step on it and scream in tongues at it. Sounds like you're all nuts. But whatever reason, it's what God did to get them their miracle, get their building paid off in less than a year. I mean, just boom, paid off supernaturally. That was the working of miracles. So I'm trying to express that to you, that it can be as simple as a nice, kind word to somebody. My grandmother had it one time. Oh, I need to close in a minute. Had it one time. The Lord said, bake a cake and give it to the neighbor across the street. We've been praying because they had crazy, rebellious, demon-possessed children. And grandma owned the street. She owned it. And what I mean by that, you had about 6 months to get saved or you had to move. Because she had prayed, save them or move them. And that's why most of our street became Christians. There were Baptists and Methodists, but they were Christians. They were. She made sure that if you didn't get saved fast enough, you had to move. And I have to say, I watched it because there went some of my friends that didn't get saved. They had to move. They didn't know why they got the job moved some off. So I thought, it's my grandma's fault. And she had this one family that just had the most meanest kids. Want to beat everybody up in the neighborhood. We'd run home after the school bus because if not, they'd beat us up on the way home. They were just mean, demon-possessed kids. And parents had gone over and tried to, you know, talk to the parents about, you know, all the kids fussing and fighting in the neighborhood. Because our street was peaceful. It was, you know, you had your little issues at times, but it was a peaceful neighborhood and good people there and neighborly people. And, you know, just it was wholesome. And this family moved in and they were full of the devil. I mean, they brought the devil with him and all of his friends. You know, you ever have a family like that move in, you know, to an apartment, a plant building or your neighborhood or somebody in the office across the hall from in the office and all of a sudden just confusion comes and argument happens and, you know, the peace and the joy and the camaraderie disappears. Well, sometimes it's natural, but sometimes it's spiritual. And Grandma, I was in the prayer meeting because we prayed every night in our house. And I remember my grandmother, when she would go quiet, she'd go, That meant the Lord was talking to her. And the longer she, he was still talking. When she quit, it was over. That's the way I knew it. And so she stopped, went, I could tell by her, it shocked her. And so when she got done, I said, Grandma, what was the about tonight? She said, I got to bake a cake. I said, bake a cake for me? No, for them. I said, don't give it to them. They're mean. Bake it for your grandson. Give it to me. I was a teenager, you know. She said, no, the Lord told me if I wanted to fix it, bake them a cake and take it to them. And told her to do it on a certain day at a certain time. So she baked that cake and it sat there for 2 days waiting for the moment. And we looked at it, me and my sister, every day and wanted it. Wasn't our cake, it was a miracle cake. And on a certain day, I watched her from my bedroom window walk across the street with the cake, open the door. She rung the doorbell and the lady opened the door. And the lady started crying as soon as she saw her and the cake. I mean, just, you could hear her down the street like someone was trying to kill her. Woo! I was just crying. And then Grandma disappeared in the house. I thought, don't kill her. I want Grandma back. When she came out, the whole family had gotten saved and gotten delivered and prayed for, and they all sat down and had the cake afterwards. It was the working of a miracle that turned that family around. The family was having trouble and strife, and she was all upset. Their family was about to have a divorce and all that. And that cake reminded her of a lady in her church when she was a girl. And when she saw the cake with the right icing, Grandma had I didn't tell you all of it. She told what kind of cake, what type of the whole thing. And the family got saved. All the kids turned into nice little kids now. I'm still friends with some of them. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the right cake. Amen. It can be that simple. I mean, sometimes we act like it's got to be something big on a platform. It can be as simple as taking somebody to lunch or taking somebody a Starbucks coffee. Or it can be the most simplest thing for the working of miracles, as well as it can be unusual. And it don't have to be on a platform. It can be right there in your neighborhood, in your house, right where you live, to have a miracle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you enjoying this tonight?
Yes.
The gift of faith is for everybody. When you're overwhelmed and you can't seem to make it, and you act like, I'm going to die, I need the rapture to come, just take me off the planet. Well, that's where the gift of faith comes in at. God gives you the amount of faith you need to get instant victory or to have the ability to go the distance with joy and receiving ability to that day of the miracle. Then you have the gifts of healing. Because God does not make people sick. He heals them. And he wants them to have abundant life and a healthy life. And it can come through you in your house. It can come from you by a neighbor. It can just be just as simple as saying a prayer or doing a certain thing. Sometimes God will tell you what to do to cure a child, to fix an ailment. And my grandmother, I always tell grandma stories because that's the closest to me. Back during the Depression, where people didn't have money or nothing. And she had two children, two little babies. They didn't have any money to go to the doctor. And they didn't know what to do to fix certain things. And one of the little kids, one of my uncle, got sick. And they had no money to go to the doctor. And they were praying for God to heal the child. And right in the middle of the prayer, the Lord said, get up and go give him this to drink. And told her what to mix. And gave it to him. 2 days later, he was up playing like he'd never been sick at all. It can work like that with natural instructions as well as just supernaturally by itself. Be open to the gifts of healing, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, these things, and the working of miracles. And don't be afraid of the working part. Amen? You might be surprised what the Lord wants you to do sometimes. You might have to write a book about it when it's all said and done. You won't believe what the Lord asked me to do one time. But he might do it and get your miracle. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. Let's lift our hands up right now and ask God and open ourselves up for the gift of the working of miracles. We open up our heart and our life, our ministries, our businesses, our families for the gift of the working of miracles. Now, Father, we know that this gift sometimes, the working parts, doesn't always make sense with our mind. But give us the ability to override our logic, override our feelings, and to obey it. Holy Spirit, work in all of us and give us confidence and give us courage that whatever the gift of the working of miracles is going to come through us and ask us to do, we'll just do it with joy and expectation. And we open up our hearts tonight for the gift of the working of miracles, for healing, for finances, for peace, for deliverance, for whatever it may be, for the right business deals. I keep hearing the Spirit of God say, I want to help people have business deals that work right for them. So we thank you, Lord, that with the gifts of the Spirit and the working of miracles, you'll help businessmen and women and people in this church to know how to get the deal that needs to be done the right way. We welcome the gift of the working of miracles in our life. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I'm going to say one more thing here and give it back to Pastor and we'll close. God doesn't mind helping you make money. Okay? I know that's hard sometimes for Christians to receive because we've been taught so much the opposite. And then sometimes we've seen people misuse prosperity verses and do things that aren't ethical, not right. But please don't let people who've done those things the wrong way become your point of reference to God's help with your finances. There are good people in this church. Good business people, good businessmen, good business ladies, good business families. And the gifts of the Spirit can help you get the right deal and ask the right thing that is almost impossible sometimes for you to get it. But he'll tell you what to do to get it. And people go, I don't know how you got that deal. I don't know how come they gave you that contract. You do. Because God works with the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of miracles, gift of working of miracles. He'll work that in you. So make sure you're open for the Lord to help you with your money, when you buy things, when you do things like that. Just take a few moments and get quiet before the Lord, before you sign anything, before you give any, and just check in. Check in. Learn to check in. In that moment, that gift may come through you, or instruction may come to you. I feel this real strong in my spirit. God really wants to help some of you in your business deals to make better money. I hear the Lord say, they're okay, but I want to do better by them. I want to do better deals for them. Better deals for them. So, Lord, we lift our hands and we say, we receive that. We receive your working in our businesses and our monies, in our business dealings and creating businesses. We receive your help with the gifts of the Spirit to have better deals, make better money, and more peaceful things as we work. We receive that right now. We receive that right now. We receive it right now. Yeah, I said that too, Lord. We receive that right now in Jesus' name. And I was praying, I'm trying to close, but it's my third closing. Some of you men need to learn, even though your wife may not be in the office, that doesn't mean she can't get something from God by the gifts of the Spirit to help you in your business. I heard that in my spirit. Tell the men that your wives can be doing something totally opposite someplace else and get something because you're one flesh. And sometimes you're busy with things bombarding your mind and things, and they're in a different place or vice versa. When your wife, or maybe some of you with your husband, I heard it more for the wives, starts going, honey, the Lord told me something. Take a moment and listen. Ask the questions. Then you get peaceful together and let God seal it as a knowing for both of you. Because sometimes the Lord will tell your spouse something or give your spouse an instruction for a miracle. And if you're just one of those men that, well, I'm the man. Well, no one says you're not. We know you're the man. I'm the head of the house. No one's taking your head off. This just, but you're one together. Really, marriage needs to be a partnership, not an ownership. And I think we've learned to prefer each other's giftings and natural abilities and spiritual sensitivities. Even some of you, like I always tell stories about my mother and my grandmother, I learned how to listen to my immediate family because I know they know the Lord. And I know that their heart toward me is right. So there's not a question of them doing me wrong. I had to learn, because sometimes I'd be so busy traveling and preaching, getting on airplanes and doing TV shows that I know the Lord was trying to do something, but I couldn't get it. My grandmother, my mother, my sister would get it, and they'd call me or send me an email. Roberts, give me a call when you can. I got something from the Lord for you. I learned by mistake to make sure I call them now. Because sometimes I missed it, and I missed the whole thing. Well, you can only, about two, three times you lose a couple $100,000, you'll start listening. Real fast like. But let's don't lose that much. Let's learn on a $20 problem. Not a $100,000 problem. But somewhere in my spirit, I just feel like the word of the Lord, I could prophesy, but I'm just going to talk it to you. There are some of you here that need to give your wives equal standing within your function of your life and your business. That when they say, I feel the Lord, or they say something by the Holy Ghost, that you listen. Sometimes you have to say, is this something I need to hear now, or can I hear it when I get away from all these crazy people I'm talking to, where I can really listen to you? Sometimes it's a now thing. Sometimes you got to go in the bathroom, go to the toilet, get in one of those booths and listen. So what's the Lord saying? Or walk outside and listen. Or sometimes, or, you know, I feel like we can talk about when you come home or when you're back off of this trip or whatever it is, or as soon as you get a break, give me a call. Sometimes there's a little bit of grace period, a little time period. But there's some of you, just because they may not have the degree that you have in your education, or they may not know what's going on, you know, moment by moment and what's in your office or your thing, but the Lord does. And sometimes you're so busy, God talks to your partner, your spouse, your one flesh, so that in his mind, he's talking to you. But you have to learn how to listen to each other by the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? And there's some men that have allowed themselves, well, I'm the head of the house. Well, be broke, you dumb thing. If the Lord's working with your wife in a certain thing, have enough maturity, enough masculinity to go, what does the Lord say? What's he saying? You'd be surprised how things will work better for you financially. That's a prophetic word for somebody, or not for all of us in this room to do that. Yeah, I'll say that. Don't let your culture dictate your spirituality. That's what I hear the Lord saying. Don't let your culture, I'm American, some of you are British, some of you are from different parts of the world. We all have cultural things that we are strong in because that's how we were raised. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm trying to close. Not preach to midnight. We got Sunday to finish the utterance gift, so make sure you're here on Sunday. But don't let our cultures override our spirituality. Spirituality is the same in every land. It's the Bible's the same. So you have to sometimes put down your natural culture, how you think, how you were raised, and let spiritual things dominate over that. Does that make sense? I was raised in the Midwest of America where men are in charge. They're the head of the house, bless God. What I say goes. Well, that's why some of them left. They didn't know how to work together with the Holy Ghost inside of their spouse. I even saw Brother Hagin's family. He, as his kids grew up, he could receive from his own children by the Holy Ghost. I knew both of his kids very, very well, especially his daughter, Pat Harrison, his daughter. She actually has Brother Hagin's prophetic ministry. Kenneth Hagin Jr. has more of his evangelistic field ministry. So his mantle fell on his children. And I remember being in her house, and she said, I need to call my dad. She get on the phone and speaking the gift of tongues and interpretation to him. Said, Dad, I was sitting here talking to some friends, and the Holy Ghost came on me and told me to call you and speak to you this way. And just begin to speak in a tongue. And then I heard her interpret it. And sometimes on the phone, I heard Brother Hagin, I got it. I heard it. I got it. That's it. I got it. Yeah, that's what I need. Thank you. Hung up the phone. She goes, all right, where were we? Your family, as they grow spiritually, become doors of God's way of talking and ministry and helping you out. Remember that, my brother and sister. Just because you may be the daddy or the mommy doesn't always mean as your children grow up in the Lord, and they don't have to be 40 years old. They can be old in their spirit while their bodies are young and speak by the Holy Ghost, move by the Holy Ghost. God wants to do that for you. You have a good family. You have good meals together. You do fun things together. And you move in the Lord together. Amen? That's a Christian family. Father, we thank you tonight for the Rabon de Lebekismana Maharekeastu, for the working of your spirit that we're learning. That it's not just for the ministry gifts that are upon the national platforms, but these gifts have been given unto us by which we can have victory in our life and live above the circumstances and the terrors and the night terrors of life. And that your gifts are given to every one of us, no matter our gender or our age or our color. If we are in your family, they have been given to us. We have had we are welcoming them into our life. We welcome the gifts of the Spirit, not just into this church, but into our daily life, how we live Monday through Saturday, how we live on Sunday morning in the house of the Lord. But we thank you that we'll not live as victims, but we'll live in peace, and we'll have victory, and we'll have health, and we'll overcome the evil one by the word of the Lord and by the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, we open up our heart and mind, and we welcome them. And we say, yes, Holy Spirit, come and do everything that Jesus sent you to do. Be everything to us that Jesus said you would be to us. And manifest and bear every fruit and every gift in our life. Hallelujah. We welcome the Holy Ghost with all of his fruit-bearing ability and his gifts of power and victory. Bless these people. Give them the edge in the business place, the marketplace. Give them the divine insight of what's coming so they're prepared for it and they are the first to go out there and have that in the marketplace. Oh, glory be to God. Yes, says the Spirit of the Lord, this is how I plan to move the money from the hands of the wicked into the hands of my children. Not just by people handing you a check, but by you having the edge in the marketplace supernaturally. So hear the voice of my servant tonight, says the Lord, and let these words work in you, and let these words develop a desire to always say, Holy Spirit, come and help me today. Come and help me today. Come and help me today. Help me be the family man. Help me be the mama. Help me be the parent. Help me be the businessman. Help my company be a righteous, successful company that always has the edge. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your workings and your administrations. Hallelujah. Solo boroko na name mahayai. Lift your hands up, if you would, just for a moment and worship the Lord. He's still working just for a few moments here. Just lift your hands up. If you want to stand, that's can, or you can sit down, however you feel comfortable. And let's just worship the Lord just for a few moments here. The Spirit of God's working here individually in people's hearts and minds. He's making adjustments. He's making adjustments in people's thinkings and believings and relatings. Oh, hallelujah. Father, heal marriages where there's been arguments, where there's been fights, where there's been insecurities that have opened the door for unhealthy relationships in these ways. We speak healing into those marriages. We speak wholeness and restoration. A new joy of working together as one to have a good family, have good children, have good money. Oh, hallelujah. We break the power of the devil off and out of your family and your business. You will not come in with a religious spirit and dictate your ways to maintain low-level success. Oh, Rebecca Haya, we break the powers of those spirits in Jesus' name, and we release the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and a healed marriage where there can be a working together with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Yeah, I'll say that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now remember, sometimes people make mistakes, but don't throw everything out. Just say, Lord, fix it. He can fix. When you thought you heard something you didn't, that's okay. We all make mistakes like that. But don't punish your spouse because of a mistake. I feel that in my spirit. They made a mistake somewhere. They didn't mean to. They thought it was right. That's okay. Now you know better. But don't let the enemy get in there and keep that from growing and becoming an accurate flow together in your life. Does that make sense to everybody? So, Father, we thank you that we can release a past mistake. And we thank you for healing that right now.